More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, what next? Not sure what to do about a challenge you've been facing in your life or relationships? Let's help you discover the next steps toward a grace-filled solution. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to be.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, what next? If you're not sure what to do about a challenge you've been facing in your life or relationships, we want to help you discover the next steps toward a grace-filled solution. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, we all have difficulties in our lives. And some of us just want to, you know, have the first thing we say to God when we get there after we praise Him, when we see Him in His glory, is, why? You know, why do we have to go through all this? And couldn't you have just, you know, solved this with your suffering, your death, and your resurrection? But no, we're here. And we have to deal with this fallen world, other fallen people, circumstances that just drain us, confuse us, and we don't know what to do about them. And it can just leave us feeling sapped and exhausted and confused.
That's right. And so, you know, if you're not sure how to, for example, heal a strained relationship or respond to someone who's either upset with you or treating you poorly, or you're having a hard time figuring out the right answer to a decision you're trying to make, maybe you're looking for the next steps to overcoming a personal struggle you are facing, or wondering how to help someone you care about who's wrestling with a challenge. You know, whatever problem, decision, or challenge you're facing, we want to help you discern those next steps that God wants you to take to find the grace-filled solutions you're looking for. You know, even though all those problems are very different, the one thing they have in common is that in order to solve them, we have to have a certain mindset that allows us to be receptive to what God is asking us to do, and really being clear about what that is. And that's one of the hardest things to do as a Christian.
It certainly is. It really is. I mean, to say we have to have a certain mindset. We all deal with some level of anxiety. We all get struck with sadness or some level of depression at some point. We can all feel run down or overwhelmed. And that makes that mindset that you're talking about, Greg, very difficult on some days, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And so we're going to talk throughout the program about how you can be in that mindset that allows you to face whatever challenge or decision or struggle you're facing in a way that opens up new avenues for solutions and new opportunities for God's grace to be manifest in your life. So give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825, and tell us, you know, are you unsure of how to deal with a particular challenge or problem in your life or relationships, whether that's not being certain about how to heal a strained relationship or respond to somebody who's upset with you or treating you poorly, or maybe you're having a hard time figuring out the right answer to a decision you're trying to make. Maybe you're looking for the next steps to overcoming a personal struggle you're facing, or for that matter, wondering how you can help someone you care about who's wrestling with a challenge. Whatever the situation is, we want to help you discern the next steps that God wants you to take to finding those grace-filled solutions. We're not going to tell you what God wants you to do, but we can help you identify those steps to help you figure it out. 877-573-7825. If you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, and I do hope you tune into the podcast every day, make sure that you can check out getting your questions to us via email, questions@moretoliferadio.com. But if you're listening live, we love hearing your voice and being able to ask those follow-up questions to tailor our responses to your specific circumstances. So the number again, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, what is that and how could it help me make clearer decisions about what God wants me to do, well, you come to the right place. You know, St. John Paul gave a series of reflections over the course of about 5 years that looked at how we can discover God's plan for living a more joyful life and having healthier, more abundant relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation, and specifically, His design of our bodies.
When we're not clear about what to do, the theology of the body can help give us clarity. It reminds us that every decision we make should help us to become what we are. That is, the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people God sees when He looks at us. If we're confused about any important decision, the best way to be confident in our choices is to look for the option that seems to give us the greatest chance of pursuing greater meaningfulness, that is, using our gifts to make a positive difference, intimacy, that is, working to make our relationships healthier and stronger, and virtue, that's taking what life gives us and using it to become a stronger, healthier, and holier person.
You know, the theology of the body shows us that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue are the three qualities on which an abundant life rests. They're the qualities that the Holy Spirit's always nudging us toward. And any choice that helps us grow in those virtues is always a step in the right direction. So when we're making decisions about anything, as long as we're bringing our decision to God first, our desire is to serve Him, and we're making choices that we prayerfully believe will lead us toward a more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous life, we can be confident in our choices, knowing that we're doing what God would have us do to the best of our ability, and we can trust the rest to His grace and guidance. And that's what we want to talk about today on More to Life, because whether you are struggling to heal a strained relationship or figuring out how to respond to someone who's upset with you or treating you poorly, whether you're having a hard time figuring out the right answer to a decision you're trying to make or looking for the next steps to overcome a personal struggle you're facing, or even wondering how you can help someone you care about who's wrestling with a challenge, that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue test is the mindset that we have to take in order to clearly identify the next step. Let us help you figure out what that looks like in your life and circumstances today on More to Life. The number, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we want to serve You. We want to do Your will. But sometimes it's hard to know what You're calling us to. And so we bring to You those situations in our life or relationships that we're not quite sure what to do about. And we ask You to give us clear discernment about the best responses to make in those strained relationships, in those situations where people are treating us poorly, those times when we're facing a difficult decision and we don't know what to do, or those situations where we're trying to overcome a personal struggle and we're not sure how to overcome the obstacles. Help us to choose the more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous path so that in all things, we can cooperate with Your grace to make a positive difference using the gifts You've given us, to draw closer to the people You've placed in our lives, and to use whatever life is throwing at us to be healthier, stronger, godlier people. We ask all of this through Your intercession, through Your grace, and through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled, What Next? As we try to figure out what to do about those challenges we're facing in our life or relationships that, you know, we're not quite sure how to respond to. Let us help you discover the next steps toward the grace-filled solutions you're seeking. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Polly, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maine.
Hey, Polly. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
I'm going to have to pare this down to spare the details. I suffer from OCD, and my brother does too. I'm being treated. It's been a challenge. I have multiple health problems, but he has never been diagnosed. We've talked. We believe he has autism of some step and maybe ADHD, but so he has told me in the past that he has a sexual addiction, and he's been in three different marriages. They failed. They were all outside the church, and now he just goes into these subjects and goes on, and now through a very reliable source, I've been told that he's trying to date someone, an older woman, and from what she said to me, it looks like he's looking for one-night stand, but I know he's very lonely. He also has extreme depression on no, you know, on no medication, but so whenever I've tried to talk to God about him, I think he's had a blockage about the Catholic Church. He gets angry. But I am perceiving that he is going to tell me himself about this relationship, and I just don't know what to do. Should I just say nothing to not inflame him? Do I take a chance of saying, please seek God about this, and God loves you? I don't know what to
say. When you say take a chance or not inflame him, is his demeanor such that he could be so angry that he could actually do you harm?
No, not me. He moved to North Carolina.
And, okay, so you're not physically around each other. Okay. Well, I mean, look, I think that when it comes to making a decision about how to talk to somebody, right, again, it comes down to that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue thing. We can't be so much, obviously we have to be charitable about what we say and how we say it, but the determination of whether we should say something or not isn't how will they feel about it. The determination is, you know, what is the most meaningful, intimate, and virtuous response to a situation, right? So meaningfulness, again, how can I use my gifts or talents to try to make a positive difference in the situation? Intimacy, how can I, you know, respond in a way that would make my relationship deeper or healthier? And sometimes that means setting boundaries as much as it means being open in new ways. And virtue, how can I respond to this in a way that will help me grow into a healthier, godlier person and invite the other person to do the same thing? You know, how they respond to it is their business. But if I'm, you know, charitably trying to make a meaningful, intimate, and virtuous response to the thing that I'm being presented with, then I'm doing what God's asking me to do. So specifically, though, in this case, since your brother does not have the relationship with God that you have or the relationship with the church that you have, coming at him from a more moral or spiritual perspective probably won't be terribly effective. The best approach in this situation is to really try to identify the pain that's underneath driving his decision, right? So we don't agree with the choices that he's making to try to ease that pain, but we can acknowledge that he's trying to meet a need or resolve a wound. And so the best thing that you can do is bring him back to that wound and say, you know, brother, I understand that you're hurting and that you're lonely and that you're struggling with so many things, but you're looking for answers where you're not going to find them. You know, you pursuing these relationships with women, these one-night stands, these other unhealthy things, I know why you're doing it, and I get it, and I'm so sorry that you're hurting the way you are. But the only way to really heal this is to get some good professional help, and if you were open, yes, bring it to God too. And if he gets angry with you for that, then he gets angry with you for that. That you haven't done anything wrong. You're working for his good. You're trying to bring his attention back to the problem he's trying to solve in these unhealthy, addictive ways.
And if I understand correctly, you know, your understanding is that he has a sexual addiction and that he is aware of it. So encouraging him to go to a 12-step program if he's never done that before, or to re-engage with it if he has, to get the emotional support that he needs and the help that he needs to overcome that, rather than to fall back into it again and just increase his pain level. And you can say that, you know, this may seem like it will make you feel better for a very short time, but it's going to make you feel a thousand times worse.
Well, I was, and the only qualifier I'd say to what you just said is not, don't tell him what it's going to do. So I'm concerned that it's going to make times worse, right? So that's the only thing. It's, you know, because, you know, anytime we tell somebody what's going to happen, they get defensive, but you're absolutely right, Lee. So that's the direction to go in. It's just, I'm just concerned for you that doing these things will make things worse. So I love you, and I want you to be able to heal and be happy and get the help that you need, and I really just wish you'd look at ways to address the wound that's underneath that. Now, Polly, excuse me, you mentioned that you have OCD. Sometimes that can translate into scrupulosity as well. So you might be wondering, well, what about the moral dimension of this? What if I don't warn him about the moral consequences of his actions? The thing is, in order for him to be open to God or to the faith or to even considering the moral consequences of his actions, he needs to be in a better place where he's not in as much, when he's not in so much pain. So you can certainly bring that up. Like I said, you can say, you know, I don't think that until you get the help that you need and maybe even bring this to God, that you're really going to experience the healing and the happiness that you're looking for. But you can mention that. But in terms of just kind of warning him off morally, he's not in a place to receive that. So anything you say is just going to be talking to a wall about that. The best chance you've got for helping him eventually get to the place where he can address the moral or recognize the moral consequences of his actions is to encourage him over and over to heal the wound that's driving his problem. Polly, thank you so much for the call. I hope these suggestions will be helpful to moving forward. And if there's more we can do to support you in this relationship with your brother, don't hesitate to reach out to us. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled, What Next? You know, if you're not sure what to do about a challenge you've been facing in your life or relationships, or how to support someone in facing the challenges they're encountering, let's talk it out together and help you find the healthy, godly, grace-filled solutions that you're looking for. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. You can also send us your questions via email, and that address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. Before we go to break, I did want to let you know about an opportunity, two opportunities, actually. First of all, I would love for you to join us at the upcoming National Eucharistic Congress. Lisa and I are going to be hosting programming for families at the Congress so that you can come with your kids to experience how encountering Christ in the Eucharist can help you have a more loving, caring, connected Catholic household on mission. Learn more about the Catholic HOM immersive experience by visiting eucharisticcongress.org/family-information. I'll say that again. eucharisticcongress.org/family-information. Learn more about the Catholic HOM immersive experience for whole families at the upcoming National Eucharistic Congress, July 17th through the 21st in Indianapolis. Also, tonight, Lisa and I are hosting our monthly live Q&A for our Catholic Home community. All subscribers to the Catholic Home app get together once a month to talk about successes and struggles and get the support they need to be more effective, confident Catholic parents and raise godly, loving, joy-filled family lives. So if you'd like to take part of that, it is part of the Catholic Home subscription. Download the app today. It's Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission, and join us tonight at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central for the Catholic Home live Q&A. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls today about what next? How do we deal with those problems we're facing? We're trying to help the people we care about with 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls, and we'll also be joined by Rachel Isaac, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She'll be sharing some insights on how to figure out what to do when we're feeling a little worn out facing those problems we've been dealing with. Stick around for that and a whole lot more with your calls coming up right after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
When I first became a mom, I had no idea how much my daughter would teach me. She's probably taught her Ged and I as much as we've taught her. I have about 200 pages of things she has said over the years that have made us laugh. I mean, gut-wrenching laughs. But sprinkled in the humor are wise words from a little girl. I realize I get the most insight from her during our end-of-the-day prayer sessions. It was something a volunteer from the Men of the Sacred Heart Ministry made note of during a prayer session at my house one afternoon. Yep, he was right. As she recited what she was most grateful for and what she's most concerned about, I realized that prayers were messages to her parents. When she started to pray for me, asking God to relieve me of my stress, I took note. God speaks to us through others. It took a little girl asking God to help her mom for me to notice how my behavior affected her. Ask your children to pray out loud with you. You'll be amazed on what you learn. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, What Next? And we're talking about those times when we're not sure what to do about a situation in our life or relationships, and how to figure out what the next steps might be. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs the St. Sebastian Program in Performance Excellence, looking at the psychology of success and how to help people become everything God created them to be. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
It's always wonderful being here.
So you wanted to talk to us a little bit about, you know, those. What contributes to us feeling overwhelmed by what's going on in our life, and how we can bounce back and increase our ability to be resilient in those moments?
Well, you know, we tend to get really bogged down by a challenging day or ongoing problems because we feel as though we can't catch a break, reset, have a fresh start, right? It's sort of this built-in mindset that we have to wait for the beginning of a new week or a new year or something similar to that in order for us to reset and get that fresh start. So one thing that I think can really contribute to resilience and just kind of our overall stress management for that matter is the knowledge that we can choose any moment, even if it's at a seemingly random time of the day, to reset. I like to kind of have a reset ritual that I can use to help me pause, take a moment, and shift my mindset. Something like stopping, standing or sitting still, rolling my shoulders back, taking a deep breath, and reminding myself of something even as simple as, I've got this. Or another favorite question of mine is asking myself in that moment, what can I do to set myself up for success in this situation? We can also take a moment by, you know, stepping into another room, maybe splashing some water on my face, saying a prayer, right? The reset ritual can be whatever you want it to be, but the idea is to take a moment and intentionally make the choice to approach this next moment differently. And this is really one way we can shift from kind of operating in that more emotional reactions part of our brain where we're feeling overwhelmed by the day or the situation and back into our thinking brain, which gives us more confidence and control and clarity in our next step.
Let me run something past you here, because whenever I present this to clients, often they'll say, well, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm not sure what to do about the situation. But I think there are two options. The one is, you know, how could I approach this in a somewhat different way? If I can't figure that out, then the backup is, what can I do to take care of myself so that I can be in a better mindset and be more relaxed in facing that? Because that opens up new possibilities, I think. What do you think about that?
I completely agree with you in that. It really ties into kind of that question that I love to ask myself of, like, what can I do to set myself up for success in this situation? Because I think when we are faced with a challenge, it's easy for us to sort of fight with our situation. It's like, oh, I just wish this would be different, or I wish this person would do this different thing, or I would be fine if this happened, right? Like, and we're fighting against the situation. But if we can kind of say, okay, this is my situation, right? What can I do to set myself up for success? And just kind of approaching that a little bit differently, where now I'm working with my situation. And to your point as well, too, I don't think we have to have it all figured out before we start, before we take that next step. And that's something that often holds us back, is thinking that we do have to have
it all figured out. Yeah, we can often freeze because that feels overwhelming, right?
Exactly. We have to trust ourselves and God, right, and know that we have the strengths, the gifts, and the talents, and the virtues, and all the things that we need to be effective. So we have to make that conscious effort to trust ourselves and God, and, you know, that we're going to figure it out as we go. We just need to take that first step, and then that next step will become clearer, and the next step, and so on and so forth.
And I appreciate, you know, that you're saying trust ourselves and God. And it's important to take that moment, in that reset moment, to say to God, you know, even pray that divine mercy prayer, you know, Jesus, I trust in you. And also add to it, you know, of our own voice, what we need. I need to be able to trust myself in this. I need your grace. I need enough grace to even trust you in this, Lord, because Satan's telling me not to. If we take that moment as we reset to really ask him for what we need, so much easier and better becomes that transition for us, right?
Well, and I think asking him and also recognizing that in a lot of ways he's already given us what we need, because we have those strengths and gifts and talents and virtues. And asking him to work with us to help us use those gifts that he's given us, but 100% just asking God for what we need in that moment, and then taking that next step so that he can guide and redirect the step after that and the step after that, and work with us so that we're not figuring it out on our own.
And we can be confident that we have the resources that we need to deal with it, because God is good, and he wouldn't put us in a situation that we couldn't handle through his grace. Rachel, thanks so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about your work through the St. Sebastian Program for Performance Excellence, so that you can help people become everything God created them to be, they can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls right now, listeners, about what next? How do you respond to those challenges you're facing? Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by Give 'Em Our Day sponsor, Bulldog Catholic at the University of Minnesota Duluth, with Father Mike Schmitz. Over the last 20 years, Bulldog Catholic has grown beyond the borders of Duluth through Father Mike's collaboration with Ascension on projects like the Bible in a Year podcast and his Ascension Presents videos. Their goal is to do their best to make sure every person involved with Bulldog Catholic, both local and national, feels seen, known, and loved. Learn more at bulldogcatholic.org.
Wisconsin is always a favorite with our pilgrims, full of Catholic riches. Close to home and no jet lag, visit the National Shrine of St. Joseph and the unique Rudolph Gardens. Celebrate Mass at the only approved Marian apparition in the United States, Our Lady of Champion. The highlight is the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, with Mass and dinner with Cardinal Raymond Burke.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Garendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience. 17,000 current students. Pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this. Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Do you want to influence your adult kids?
Make sure that the relationship you have is deep enough to contain the conversations you're trying to have. Sometimes a relationship, though pleasant, can be too small to comfortably fit the big questions we want to discuss. Trying to have deep conversations in a shallow relationship is like buying a couch that's twice as big as your living room. It might be a great couch, but trying to make it fit is going to be awkward at best. This is why it's so important to work harder on your relationship with your adult kids than on the things you want to say to them. The more you focus on building a deep and loving relationship with your adult kids, the more likely they'll be to accept you as a mentor. To learn more, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled, What Next? We're talking about those times when we run into situations in our life or relationships that we're just not sure what to do. Maybe you're unsure how to heal a strained relationship or respond to someone who's either upset with you or treating you poorly. Maybe you're having a hard time figuring out the right answer to a decision you're trying to make. Or maybe you're looking for the next steps to overcoming a personal struggle you're facing. Or even wondering how you can help someone you care about who's wrestling with a challenge. Whatever the problem, decision, or challenge you're facing, we want to help you discern those next steps that God wants you to take to find those grace-filled answers you're looking for. 877-573-7825. Give us a call. That number again, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Georgia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Georgia. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
A friend of mine is sort of emotionally lost, and he's not going to work, and he's run out of money, and I've tried to help him out of the hole, and it's not a problem for me financially to do that, but I feel like I am just giving him another excuse not to go to work, and he blames everybody else, and I've tried to mother him because I'm a generation different than he is. But it does not seem to be sticking.
Okay.
Now tell me a little bit about this friend. Did he hold a steady job previously and then this suddenly went downhill or gradually declined? Is a job waiting for him and he's just not going, or does he need to find a new one? And do you know if there's any kind of substance abuse involved in what he's going through at all?
It does not seem that he has a substance abuse problem. I've never notice that when I see him. He's kind of hermit-like. He follows, you know, I make suggestions and occasionally he follows them, but mostly he just, he has a job that he could go to, but he finds all kinds of reasons not to. He doesn't have money for gas. So I, you know, provide that, and, you know, oh my, this happened, and I don't have enough money for this, and I've really tried to get him out of that hole, but I can't, because he doesn't, okay. I mean, I can't just keep.
Yeah, and so just last week, did he used to be better than he is now? Has something happened that he's, you know, kind of decompensated?
Yes. Both his parents died in rather quick succession, and but he's old enough to accept that.
Sure. Okay, I understand. So let's talk about, you know, how to make sure help is actually helpful, right? Because we want to be charitable and we want to be generous, and that's a good thing. But help tends to only be helpful when we're making up for the gap that still exists when a person is doing the most that they can to solve their problems, right? So, for example, you know, let's say he was going to work. Let's say he was getting counseling, right, to deal with his stuff, and you know, he was working hard, right, to try to get his life together. But you know, the money just wasn't coming in, or you know, he it was a couple of lean weeks on the job or whatever, and he couldn't afford the gas to get whatever. You know, giving him that support to help bridge the gap between the efforts he's making and the demands that he's facing is charitable, because it's helping him get to where he needs to go. When somebody isn't doing all they could do, and we come along for a long time, for a recent period, that starts to become enabling. There's nothing wrong with giving somebody a leg up, you know, to say, hey, look, you know, I'm going to go ahead and give you the rent this month. Let's work out a plan to make this work moving forward, and hopefully the gratitude they feel for you bailing them out of the hole, you know, motivates them to do more. But if you've done that, which it sounds like you already have, and now he just keeps coming back to you for more help to make up for his lack of effort, then that does become enabling.
And especially when somebody has gone through grieving or is going through a period of grief, it's fine to come alongside of them during that devastating time for weeks or even the first few months. But then the most loving thing we can do is really help them begin to work out of that grieving process, even if it means connecting them with a grief group or something that's going to help them walk those next steps as they begin to deal with the devastation on a day-to-day basis.
So what I would suggest to you at this point, having given him that support and, you know, tried to show him that you're there for him, I would say at this point the best way you could help him is to say, let's come up with a plan. You know, if you're willing to come up with a plan for getting yourself to work, and then you need support, you know, because the money's not coming in, or you need a little extra money to get to work on a given day, or to get yourself to counseling, I'm happy to make that happen. But first, I really need to see you doing more than you are. Because this is your problem, and I need to help you handle your problem better. And as long as I just keep coming in and rescuing you, you're not facing your stuff. And I love you too much to let you fall into that hole. So, you know, talk to me about what you're going to do to start getting a handle on this, and let's see you making some effort, and I will help fill in gaps where I can.
Now, it's absolutely fine for you to find local grief support groups in his area, find some different counseling numbers, and give those to him. But then he's the one who has to make those calls or go to those groups, because he needs to be processing that. So you help him by doing, you know, the light work of, okay, this is where you can get the help you need. But then he has to actually engage in that.
And you know, and like you said, he has a job that he could go to, and, you know, you want to encourage him to start doing that, and saying, look, you know, you could really, you know, make X amount of dollars if you just showed up for work all week. You could, you know, see these successes if you just did X, Y, and Z. So let me see you doing those things, and I'll help fill in the gaps for you as I can.
And if he's, you know, it appears that he's really sinking into a bad emotional place, a depression of some sort, and some of the basic things that help us out of depression are going to work, dealing with other human beings, those things, even finding friendships, being part of a support group. Those things really help to change our brain chemistry, help us get out of that laser focused, I'm just focusing on my grief and what I lost. So encouraging him in that, even if, you know, it's a bit much, but even if you want to commit yourself to, I'm going to drive you to work every day next week, you're going to get there. And give him that chance to do that. And then the week after, he can start getting himself there by bus or whatever way he can get there. It's okay to do things like that as long as your focus, Georgia, is on what steps am I taking that will enable him to start moving in the right direction on his own.
Georgia, thank you so much for wanting to be there for your friend and for being so charitable and generous. You know, you certainly are responding to the call of the Holy Spirit to use your gifts to try to be a blessing to others. But again, you know, from the theology of the body perspective, there's love and responsibility go hand in hand, right? So loving means working for somebody's ultimate good, and responsibility refers to our ability to choose to do something in the most loving way. And so as you continue to look at ways to support him, make sure you're looking at those ways to work for his ultimate good, not just solve immediate concerns. And I think your instincts are right on about that. All right, we've got to go to break, but we are continuing to take your calls on our show titled, What Next? As we talk about those times when we're really just not sure what to do about a challenge we're facing or a decision that we have to make, we want to help you discover the next steps toward a grace-filled solution. 877-573-7825. Call us and tell us, are you unsure how to heal a strained relationship or respond to somebody who's either upset with you or treating you poorly? Maybe you're having a hard time figuring out the right answer to a decision you're trying to make. Or maybe you're looking for the next steps to overcoming a personal struggle you're facing. Or wondering how you can help someone you care about who's wrestling with a challenge. Whatever problem, decision, or challenge you're facing, we want to help you discern those next steps God wants you to take to find the grace-filled solutions you're looking for. Obviously, we can't tell you what God wants you to do, but we can walk you through the steps the church has identified over thousands of years of this to help you know what the next thing to do is. So let's talk about what's next today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from James chapter 1, verse 5.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. I love this scripture verse. I mean, first of all, we do feel at times we lack wisdom. And even if we have some, getting that God's eye view, God's wisdom is the most important thing. And of course, you know, throughout scripture, we find that when people actually ask for wisdom, God is very pleased with them. So we know by asking, we're not going to face his reproach. He's not mad at us for not being omniscient or not getting it right away. When we ask for that wisdom, Lord, what do you want me to do next? Show me the way to go. Put me up on your shoulders and let me see your view of all of this. It will be given unto us.
James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. We're taking your calls right now and helping you figure out what God is calling you to do next about that particular challenge you're facing in your own life or your desire to help someone you care about. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let us help you figure out what next, when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The history books tell of many times and places in which the zeitgeist, the spirit of the time, decided that for the good of the state, some element of its population should be killed, like the Irish or African slaves or Jews or priests. While the Christian tradition maintains that human life is sacred, don't assume that the world agrees. Accordingly, many of the mothers, fathers, and grandparents bringing an unborn child to the abortuary know that they are killing a human being, yet have no problem with it, because history has taught them that human life is not sacred, and that occasionally certain members of society have to be sacrificed. Therefore, the pro-life movement cannot argue simply that human life is sacred. It must argue why it is sacred. The pro-life movement should show the world that as the person struggles with loneliness, runs from death, seeks answers, seeks beauty, the person is showing that he belongs to God. GuadalupeWorkers.org.
This Saturday morning at 11:30, join us for another special edition of the Bishop's Hour. Bishop Earl Boyer of the Lansing Diocese joins host Father Tim McDonald for an engaging conversation. This week, Bishop Boyer talks about the Feast of Corpus Christi, ordinations, the summer's bishop meeting, and the canonization of Carlo Acutis. The Bishop's Hour, Saturday morning at 11:30, and repeated on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on this Ave Maria radio station.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, the show is titled, What Next? As we talk about how to know what to do about challenges we've been facing in our life or relationships, or how to help the people in our life that are wrestling with challenges as well. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to join the conversation. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next question, we want to remind you to turn to Mary, Mother of God, for helping bearing witness to the gift of life with the National Life Rosary, designed exclusively for EWTN. The unique centerpiece and crucifix represent the reality that all life is sacred and begins at conception. Help pray for and build a culture of life with the National Life Rosary. That's available now at EWTNRC.com.
So check that out at EWTNRC.com. We're taking your calls right now about what next. What should we do about those challenging situations in our life or relationships we're not quite sure what to do about? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Peggy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maryland.
Hi, Peggy. Welcome to More to Life.
Hello.
Hi, what's up?
My son has three children, him and his wife. He gave up his Catholic faith when he got married, and they have the first child baptized. The second two haven't been baptized. And I don't know how to bring up the subject because we're always visiting, like, in large groups. And I don't want to pick up the phone and talk about it.
What kind of connection do you have? Like, how often do you talk with your son otherwise, besides these large groups?
Maybe once every 2 weeks he'll give me a call, and it's not a lot.
Give you a call. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing, Peggy. I mean, so a couple of points. I mean, it's wonderful to want to have your grandchildren baptized, and I want that for you as well. And obviously, God wants that for your grandkids. Infant baptism is based on, and the canon law says, the founded hope that children will be able to be raised in the faith. And so we need to make sure that we're not just focusing on sacramentalizing our kids and grandkids, but really evangelizing them. And so just having your son go through the ritual of baptism, you know, for your sake or because you pressured him into it or whatever, doesn't really do what God's asking us to do. You know, what we really need to be looking at is how can we get your son and his wife back to church, and how can we get them living a Christian life and wanting to raise their children in the faith, right? And that's a bigger question, but it's the most important one. And how do we get there? Well, we talk about this more in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, which is really a book about how we can continue to be Christian mentors to our adult children in all kinds of different situations, including when they fall away. And, you know, you sort of alluded to this when you said that, you know, you only see him in big groups or when he calls you every other week. We need to make sure that our relationships are deep enough to contain the conversations we want to have with somebody. So what the relationship you're describing with your son is one where, you know, you kind of have a lighter, superficial kind of what's going on, this is what happened in the week sort of, you know, talk about current events kind of relationship. And the jump from that to, hey, where are you guys at spiritually? You know, how do you feel about what God in your life? And, you know, we're being able to talk, witness to him about how God's moving in your life, that's a big leap to go from, you know, what's the weather like and how's work to that.
And so, and also, when we try to do that, and so many of us as parents who raised our kids in the faith, we think all those puzzle pieces should be there and we should just be able to, like, tap them on the shoulder and remind them. When we make that big leap of, as you were saying, Greg, from how's the weather to, you know, how are you doing spiritually and what about the kids being baptized, we make them feel like projects. We make our kids feel like we don't care at all about them. We just care about
our faith or that ritual, or, you know, they don't even think of it as a sacrament. And so it backfires on us. It actually pushes them farther away from us.
So the answer to your question, Peggy, is to take the longer view. Number one, be lifting them up in prayer every day, obviously. But not just that your grandkids would be baptized, but that they would come back to the church and want to raise their children in the faith. And then secondly, to start building up your relationship. Don't wait for him to call you. You know, be texting him every day and saying, hey, I was just thinking about you and how things, what's going on? Or, hey, this happened and I just wanted to share it with you. Or, I remembered you were telling me the last time we talked about this situation. I just wanted to let you know I was praying about it. But, you know, you're making an effort to be a support to him, to be a loving presence in his life, a support, not just, you know, one more obligation where I have to call my mom every 2 weeks, but where he likes hearing from you and feels supported by those interactions and then starts turning to you, right, for questions. You know, Mom, this was going on, and I just wanted to talk about it. And that's when you've got the opening of the Holy Spirit to say, well, you know what, son, I love you so much. I'm sorry you're going through that. Lord, please bless my son and help him to know, you know, what to do about this situation. And then you move on, right? But he's bringing things to you, so now you're able to bring those things to God in his presence.
You're invited.
Right?
You're invited by him.
So then you start evangelizing him and really showing him what a relationship with God can do in his life, which then long-term leads him to want to be part of the church again and raise his kids in the faith.
And I'm going to be honest, you have to be treating your daughter-in-law in the same loving, respectful way, where you actually care about her, you want
her,
to know about
her.
You know, if there is anything you can do for her, I realize you don't live close, but, you know, you ask those things because, you know, you said he gave up his faith when he got married. If this is a wedge issue between the two of them, she needs to know she has another mom who loves her and cares about her, and it's not that you're sitting there being angry at her for taking your son from the church or something.
So, Peggy, you have a beautiful heart, and I want what you want. I want your kids to be baptized. But even more, I want your whole family to be living a godly life and to be in love with God and his church. And this is the way to get there, right? So I really want you to focus on that.
And while you do that, you continue to pray for your son, for his wife, and for all three of your grandbabies who you want to have baptized and to have a vibrant Catholic faith. You know, the prayers of grandparents really do matter, and you just keep giving this whole situation to God and asking him, what steps do you want me to take? How can I cooperate with your grace and your will for him?
Peggy, thank you so much for the call. And to you, and again to all listeners out there, you know, we have this tendency as Catholics to focus on sacramentalizing people without having evangelized them. And that is not what the church asks us to do, and it's certainly not what God wants us to do. He wants us to be able to facilitate a relationship between him and people. You know, the sacraments are efficacious. They do affect what they signify. But they're not magic. They can't do it all. And if our hearts are closed to the movement of grace, if we don't really want to live a Christian life, then pressuring somebody, using our relationship to pressure them to go through a sacrament just so we can feel better, doesn't really do what God's asking us to do. Ultimately, we need to create the kind of relationship, this is what God is calling us to do, to create the kind of relationship with that person that would make them want to turn to us for that love and support, which would then give us an opportunity to use the lines that open up between us and them to share God with them through the way God is working in our lives and the ways that we can show them that he is working in theirs as well. All right, as we come into the last few moments of the program, I just wanted to recap. You know, when we're facing anything, right, whether it is a problem in our life or relationships we're not sure what to do about, a decision that we're trying to make that we're not sure what to do about, a challenge we're trying to help someone else deal with, we need to have as the focus not how are they going to react to this, or what do I feel like doing, or what other people tell me to do. We have to have as our focus, number one, prayer, but specifically praying through the decision with an eye toward what is the most meaningful, intimate, or virtuous response I can make to this challenge. Let me break that down again, like we've been talking about through the program. Meaningfulness refers to my ability to use the gifts and talents God has given me to make a positive difference in the situation. So what can I do that at least invites the possibility of making a positive difference in this situation for myself or the other person?
The intimacy is you working to make your relationship healthier and stronger. So just as we were just talking about with Peggy, we have to work on what's going to make that healthier, what's going to make that relationship stronger so that we can bear good witness, so that we can be of effect, not to make them a project, but because we love them.
And sometimes that means making more of an effort and being more vulnerable. Sometimes that means setting some boundaries. But either way, what can I do to make the relationship closer and stronger and healthier? And finally, virtue. How can I respond to this situation in a way that will help me be a healthier, godlier, stronger person and invite the people involved to be healthier, godlier, and stronger too? And the more I pray about those three qualities and the more I lean into whatever decision or whatever action I believe prayerfully leads to more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, the more I can be confident I'm doing what God is asking me to do, regardless of how the person reacts or how the situation turns out. Because sometimes a mess needs to be made before things get better. And I can't be looking at, oh gosh, you know, they got mad at me, or this didn't work out. I lean into those virtues that in prayer that help me see how I can use my gifts to make a positive difference. You make the choices that make my relationships healthier and stronger, and make the choices that enable me to grow and as a healthier, godlier, stronger person, and invite the others to do the same. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's program. If you'd like to learn more about this framework, check out my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which talks all about this meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue test to help us decide what next. Also, if you'd like to learn more about the services we offer through the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Pastoral Telecounseling Practice, give us a call and look us up at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life. That's CatholicCounselors.com.
Listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.